What could a wealthy Roman advisor to a murderous emperor possibly teach us about living well? More than you'd think. Seneca's letters have guided everyone from medieval monks to modern tech entrepreneurs, offering wisdom that feels eerily tailored to our age of endless scrolling and perpetual distraction. Written nearly 2,000 years ago, these intimate philosophical letters tackle questions we still wrestle with. How do we find peace in chaos? What makes life meaningful? How do we face our mortality without flinching? The answers Seneca provides aren't abstract theories, but practical tools forged in the crucible of one of history's most turbulent eras. His life reads like a thriller. Rising to become one of Rome's wealthiest citizens and chief advisor to Emperor Nero, he embodied a glaring contradiction, preaching simplicity while accumulating 300 million sesterces in just 4 years. Critics pounced on this hypocrisy, yet Seneca's defense cut deeper than expected. What matters isn't wealth itself, but your relationship to it. The wise person treats money as a tool, the fool becomes its prisoner. His proximity to power proved fatal. After helping manage the aftermath of Nero's matricide, drafting the emperor's explanatory letter to the Senate, Seneca's influence crumbled. By 65 CE, implicated in a conspiracy against Nero, he received the order every Roman philosopher dreaded: commit suicide. Tacitus describes his final hours with cinematic detail, Seneca opening his veins with philosophical composure, offering his life as his one remaining possession. When his aged body released blood too slowly, he took poison, finally suffocating in a vapor bath. He died as he had taught, with dignity intact, external circumstances irrelevant to inner freedom. Stoicism before Seneca demanded impossible perfection, complete emotional suppression, flawless rationality, total self-sufficiency. The ideal Stoic sage never erred, grieved, or needed anyone. Seneca transformed this by acknowledging human frailty, describing virtue as continuous struggle rather than achieved state. Where earlier Stoics demanded apatheia, total emotional detachment, Seneca allowed natural feelings, close friendships, reasonable grief. "I am beginning to be my own friend," he wrote, suggesting self-acceptance marks genuine progress. This humanized approach resonated across centuries. Early Christians found his writings so compatible that legends claimed he'd corresponded with St. Paul. Seneca emphasized loving kindness, conscience as inner light, and humanity's kinship with the divine, themes transcending pagan philosophy. His own contradictions, wealth alongside teachings on simplicity, proximity to tyranny while advocating virtue, make his insights more accessible. He embodies the tension between ideal and reality we all experience, writing not as untouchable sage, but as fellow travelers struggling toward wisdom. Seneca's advice feels remarkably modern. In letter 2, he warns against scattered reading, counsel that seems designed for our era of browser tabs and feeds. "Be careful not to develop the habit of flitting from book to book," he cautions. "Instead, engage deeply with proven writers, extracting one valuable thought daily." It's essentially the same advice productivity experts give about deep work versus shallow consumption. His guidance on friendship in letter 3 reveals psychological sophistication. "Judge a person's character before forming friendships, not after. Once trust is established, share unreservedly. Trust begets trustworthiness. Suspicion teaches others to deceive you." Modern research on self-fulfilling prophecies confirms what Seneca intuited 2 millennia ago. Most relevant is his counsel about crowds in letter 7. "I never return home with the same moral character I left with," he confesses about his susceptibility to social influence. "Vices creep in through entertainment and social contagion, a phenomenon social psychologists now extensively document." His solution? Retreat into yourself. Associate with those who improve you. It's the ancient equivalent of being mindful about your social media diet. When he writes, "No trip can set you beyond cravings, tempers, or fears," he names our modern tendency to seek external solutions for internal problems, why changing jobs, moving cities, or buying new things so rarely delivers lasting peace. Seneca confronts death directly. In letter 26, he advocates rehearsing for death through honest self-examination. Death will pass the same judgment on each of us that we pass on ourselves. As Epicurus wrote, "He who has learned how to die has unlearned how to be a slave." Facing mortality liberates us from petty concerns that work embarrassment or social media slight shrinks against our finite existence. His advice on adversity applies similar logic. In letter C07, "The fairness of life's law lies not in everyone experiencing the same hardships, but in everyone being subject to them. Suffering isn't personal, it's universal. This recognition removes self-pity's sting." He recommends premeditatio malorum, anticipating difficulties before they arrive. Modern cognitive behavioral therapy has repackaged this ancient practice. Preparation diminishes fear's power. When you've mentally rehearsed losing your job, facing illness, or experiencing rejection, these events lose their paralyzing terror. Seneca's view of happiness contradicts consumer culture. "A cheerful poverty is honorable," he writes, noting that true poverty isn't having little, it's craving more. He observes wealthy Romans with vast estates who remain perpetually dissatisfied. If you shape your life according to nature, you will never be poor. If according to people's opinions, you will never be rich. Natural desires have limits. Social comparison generates boundless craving. Seneca recommends periodic voluntary simplicity. In letter 18, he suggests, "Occasionally spend several days with the plainest food, coarse clothing, and ask yourself, is this what I feared? Sleep on the floor or eat only rice and beans. You'll discover you can survive with far less than necessary. This practice inoculates us against fortune's changes." True happiness comes from inner qualities, wisdom, self-sufficiency, virtue. These cannot be taken by fortune and provide lasting satisfaction. The path to happiness lies not in having more, but in wanting less and cultivating inner excellence. Stoicism is often mischaracterized as promoting emotional detachment, but Seneca's letters reveal deep appreciation for human connection. In letter I, he explores an apparent contradiction. Though self-sufficient, the wise man still desires friends, not from necessity, but from natural inclination. True resilience comes from forming healthy attachments while maintaining inner stability. Perhaps most striking for his era is Seneca's stance on slavery in letter XLV. He emphasizes our shared humanity. They come from the same origin, breathe the same air, and face the same mortality as their masters. He recommends including slaves in conversations and meals based on character rather than occupation. Revolutionary advice recognizing moral worth transcends social status. His analysis goes deeper. True slavery is self-imposed through addiction to vices like sex, money, or ambition. The wealthy Roman who seems free might be more enslaved than his servants, bound by social obligations, trapped by luxury, chained to public opinion. This insight anticipates modern understandings of addiction and compulsion. His social ethics extend to navigating conflict. In letter CV, he examines what drives humans to harm each other: hope, envy, hatred, fear, contempt. His practical advice remains relevant. Avoid ostentation, maintain moderate fortune, cultivate an easygoing nature, practice empathy. In a world selling productivity in pills and mindfulness in apps, Seneca reminds us that wisdom cannot be purchased or downloaded. It must be lived. His letters don't offer quick fixes, but enduring principles tested across two millennia. What makes his voice compelling? His willingness to share both triumphs and failures, certainties and doubts. His ultimate gift is perspective on uncertainty. Nothing endures, whether for individuals or societies, he observes. We must envision every possibility to strengthen our spirits. This isn't pessimism, but preparation, mental training that builds resilience for whatever comes. Seneca's challenge: we cannot control external events, but we always retain freedom to choose our response. In that choice lies our dignity and power. The letters wait, offering not just consolation, but practical tools for living well, no matter what chaos swirls around you.